Would you turn in your Bibles, please, to John chapter 13? And the story is the one where Jesus has gathered with his disciples to eat the Passover meal. It would be the last Passover meal that would ever need to be celebrated because the Passover lamb, Jesus, had come and was going to fulfill all of the pictures that the Passover lamb and celebration talked about. At John 13, verse 2, from the NIV, the evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. And we know that this whole procedure should have been done as the disciples arrived. That was the customary thing, wash people's feet as they entered a building. Obviously, they had not done that, and so Jesus does that for them. John 13, verse 6. He came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you'll understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Not a smart thing to say no to God, right? Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Well, then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you," for he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said, "Not every one of you is clean." A key word, bath. Another key word, wash, or a wash up. I like to think of it as bath and maintenance. We take a bath and wash our entire body. We wash our hands regularly. We do a touch-up. And I want to focus for a few minutes on the significance of the bath as it relates to communion. After some music, the significance of the wash-up as it relates to communion. And then I want to spend just a little bit of time on what happened to Peter a few hours later, when I think he needed to remember that he had had the bath. He needed an extreme wash up. Because sometimes followers of Jesus who have had the bath and who have regular wash ups find ourselves in a place where we make a choice, a decision, that is so extreme, the consequences are so major, that we might question our security. We might wonder if we've ever had the bath. And I want to talk a little bit about that. Jesus explained to Peter the importance of salvation, the bath, and the difference between salvation that gets us ready for heaven, a one-time event, and regular cleansing, the wash, that's more of a maintenance event, which is one of the reasons, one of the key reasons, we do the Lord's Supper periodically. You see, the bath is all about salvation. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, Adam, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all have sinned, so by one man, Jesus, came life. That's the bath. In verse 17 of Romans 5, for if by the trespass of one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through that one man? Obviously talking about Jesus. And Romans 10, we quote it often here at verse 9, that if we will say with our mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. For it's with the heart that we believe and are justified, and with the mouth that we confess and are saved. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed, the new has come. So the first requirement for participation in this memory celebration is the bath. We should not participate in this if we haven't had the bath, if we haven't experienced salvation, if we haven't come to that place where we admitted that we're a sinner and look to Jesus as the Savior who took our sin and died in our place and is the resurrected, eternal, forever Savior. If we have come to a place where we have believed in our heart and said with our mouth, Jesus is my Savior, my God, then we've had the bath. That's the bath. You only get it once. You only need it once. Peter mixed up maintenance with bath, salvation with ongoing confession and cleansing. And Jesus said, Peter, you're in. You're one of mine. You're my man. I'm your Savior. And in essence, he was saying, someday you'll really understand what I'm saying to you. But Peter, you need to know that you don't need a bath tonight. You need cleansing. You need ongoing maintenance, and that's what I'm doing for you. You don't need the bath of salvation. You need the cleansing of confession because of ongoing sin and issues in our life. So as the music team comes back to the platform and leads us in some more music, what I want us to ponder is, one, have I had the bath? And I'm guessing maybe everybody in this room has, but I can't be sure. So we need to let the Spirit of God look into our heart and assure us, yes, I'm saved. I'm God's child. Or, if we're not sure, no better time than in these next few minutes to ponder and to admit the need for the bath, the need for salvation, the need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. This is a time, these next few minutes of music, for assurance and gratefulness for salvation, to tell God thanks, which should always be a part of our communion fellowship, and to make sure that we've had the bath. Father, I admit to you that I don't spend enough time just pondering the significance of salvation, to know that I'm saved, to know that nothing can separate me from you, nothing that I would do, nothing that anyone else would do. The gift of salvation, the bath of the blood of Jesus, that takes away all sin and makes us holy and acceptable to you. Thank you. for being my Savior. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. There is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie. We don't do the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Keep in mind, this is written to believers. These are people that have had the bath. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. Every child of God lives under the influence of sin. After we've had the bath, it's a sin-cursed environment. We still have an old nature. It's been conquered by the Spirit of God, but it hasn't been removed. And our life journey from the bath to heaven is hopefully a journey of less and less dominance by the old nature and more control by the Spirit of God. But the journey is not over until God takes us home to heaven. And so for me to claim a perfect life today, lack of any influence or problem with sin, would probably be the first sin that I need to confess before I take communion today. It's that practical. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. How great is the love of the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Jesus appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as Jesus is pure. Peter needed to remember that he was God's child. He had the bath. But he needed to remember that there would be continual challenges in his life where he would slip into sin, and that would need to be confessed in order that he would stay useful to God until God called him home. And we're given a very significant help in 1 John 3:3. Everyone who has this hope of being with Jesus forever purifies himself as he is pure. I think that's being explained simply means this. The more we're thinking about Jesus coming for us, the more inclined we are to let the Spirit of God guide us in a pure life. Down in Corinth, in the early days of the church, there were a lot of people there that had had the spiritual bath. They had committed their life to Jesus. They were a part of the church. They were secure in their hope of eternal life. But they were pretty messed up. You read it in 1 Corinthians 11. Paul wrote, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. And I kind of believe that. And no doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you has God's approval. In other words, there was a power struggle on who was the most holy. He said, when you come together, you're not doing it to eat the Lord's Supper, because each of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. And then he goes on to describe a horrible situation where they would have a meal before they would do the Lord's Supper. And they would gorge themselves while some people didn't get anything. And instead of a little bit of wine, we use grape juice, they'd get drunk. How could that be? A group of believers that had the bath but needed maintenance, needed confession, needed cleansing. The problem with the Jesus followers at Corinth was a lack of washing. They had the bath. They forgot the importance of washing. And it's easy to do that for followers of Jesus. It's so easy for us to become distracted. The tool of the devil is to distract us from a focus on the Savior. And he's good at it. And it comes through illness, it comes through financial challenge, it comes through relationship issues, it can come through weather, it can come through anything that causes us to be ungrateful. It happens to all believers. And that night in the upper room, when Jesus said to Peter, you've had the bath, you need a wash up. He gave us a principle for life. Cherish the bath. Enjoy the bath. Be assured by the bath. Don't question your relationship with God. Jesus has secured that. But don't get careless. Wash up often. And it's good that we'll be doing this in a few minutes. We'll take time to ponder the significance of the bread and the cup. That's all about the bath. Jesus taking our sin on his body, the bread symbol, and washing it away with his blood, the juice symbol. It's good that we do this periodically. Mentally, emotionally, we probably need to do this at least once a day, and sometimes multiple times throughout the day. Because any time we allow ourselves to be distracted from the holy character of God and influenced by anything that is less than God's holiness, we need a wash up. We need maintenance. It's what gives us peace and makes us effective. So salvation, the bath, is the first requirement for the communion celebration. Confession, the wash, is the second requirement for communion celebration. And as the music team comes back and leads us in some more music, let's do this. Let's kind of tune out everyone that's around us, and let's let the Spirit of God just look into the inside of our mind and our heart and help us do gut honest evaluation. And anything that shows up that's less than holy, let's admit it. in the quietness of our heart. Let's say, dear God, that unkind word that I spoke a few days ago, that was so wrong. I'm so sorry. I admit that. That problem that I'm carrying, that I'm actually worrying about it, I'm really not trusting you, that's so wrong. I admit it. And the blood of Jesus that gave us the bath, that got us into his family, continues to give us the wash up. Isn't that amazing? God is amazing. Sometimes a Jesus follower needs an extreme wash. Peter's experience helps us with this. Matthew chapter 26 at verse 69. This is a few hours, after Peter was assured that he had had the bath, he just needed a touch-up. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. "You also were with Jesus of Galilee," she said. But he denied it before them all. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Then he went out to the gateway, where another girl saw him and said to the people there, "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." Peter denied it again with an oath, "I don't know this man." After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away." Then Peter began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, "I don't know the man," referring to Jesus. Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. And Peter went outside and wept bitterly. The question of security is involved at this point. Did Peter need another bath? That's a horrible denial of Jesus. And I believe the answer is absolutely no, because a second salvation is not possible. Hebrews makes that clear. One bath secures us into the family of God. When the Spirit of God links to our spirit based on the finished work of Christ and our acceptance of God's grace, we're locked into his family. And Jesus had told Peter a few hours before that he had the bath. Jesus didn't change his mind when Peter denied him. But Peter was in need of what I think is extreme cleansing. And I think this is helpful to remember when we or someone we know, as a child of God, secure in the family of God, sins so bad that they think God could never forgive them. Now, sin is sin. But the consequence of sin varies tremendously based on what the sin is. And I think it's so amazing to realize that the worst possible sin that a follower of Jesus could commit does not break the relationship. But probably the confessions that we do as we do the communion exercise probably most of the time, hopefully most of the time, and I think some servers are on their way down to help me with this, probably most of the time the things we confess are relatively simple. We lost perspective on something. We worried when we should have trusted. We were unkind when we should have been gracious. All those distractions that clutter up our life. But every now and then, there's something that needs more than a wash up. It needs extreme cleansing. And the concern I have is that a lot of people lose the sense of security in their relationship with God when those horrible times come into our life. And they wonder, am I still a part of God's family? Does he still love me? Did salvation take care of this? The bath, the blood of Jesus takes care of all sin. And it's powerful enough to continue to cleanse us from the sin that comes into our life as we do our life journey all the way until God calls us home to heaven. Let's just ponder that for a few seconds. Thank you, dear God, for the extreme power of the blood of Jesus to take care of extreme sin in our life. So the Bible says that after that foot washing and that discussion that went on, and there was a lot more to the discussion, if the men will join me, that Jesus took bread and he blessed it and he gave it to each of his disciples and he told them to eat and drink and remember him until he comes again. And so we'll be served the bread and the cup together, and we'll ponder the significance of what we're doing, and then after we've all been served, we'll eat and we'll drink together. Well, if we followed the spirit of the journey that we've been on for the last hour, we simply need to enjoy the elements. The Bible says this bread represents the body of Jesus that took our sin upon himself to be our Savior. Let's eat and tell him thanks. And the Bible says that this cup of juice represents the blood of Jesus that washed away all of our sin, continues to cleanse us until we go home to heaven. Let's drink and tell him thanks. So I think after what we've done in the last 60 minutes, we feel as clean as we did when we first trusted Jesus. Let's see how long we can maintain it, okay? Have a great day. Thanks for being here.